And now a story of population transfer happening right here in America. Only in America, we've been calling it deportation.
We focused and used discretion about whom to prosecute, focusing on criminals who endanger our communities rather than students who are earning their education. And today, deportation of criminals is up 80%. We've improved on that discretion carefully and thoughtfully.
President Barack Obama told the nation back in 2012 that he was modifying his administration's deportation policy for illegal immigrants to focus only on violent offenders. But according to an investigation in the New York Times, of the 2 million deportations that have been carried out under President Obama, two-thirds of the cases involve individuals who committed only minor infractions or had no criminal record at all. This is the case for Elizabeth Perez, a former Marine and mother of two, whose husband Marcos was deported to Mexico in 2010 after he was pulled over for running a red light. Elizabeth, welcome.
Thank you, John, and I would also like to say thank you for giving me this opportunity from the hundreds of thousands of families in this situation that I'm able to speak with you today.
Let's talk about the situation. And the president would have us believe that the only people being deported are being deported for very serious criminal violations and that family considerations are being taken into account. That's absolutely not the case for you. Explain.
No, John, that's actually completely not the case. The fact that I was pregnant when my husband was deported and we have it. Our first son was 4 months old. None of that was taken into consideration.
And you're a former Marine yourself.
Yes.
So the idea that, you're doing anything other than supporting the United States of America is absurd on its face.
Exactly, John. I'm a very patriotic woman. I love my country. I love everything about my country, our culture, the food, everything. And being in the Marine Corps, I'm very familiar with the processes of bureaucracy and paperwork and getting things filled out. So I understood that with my husband's situation, it wasn't going to be really fast, but I was completely, completely shocked that the way it actually is, that he has no chance of coming back. I didn't realize that. I thought we do the right thing, we fill out the papers, we do the process, and in the end, it's going to be okay.
Do you remember the traffic violation that began everything, that set everything in motion?
Yes, I remember. It was the very day I told my husband that I was pregnant with our second child, and he went to work, and he was pulled over by the police for running a red or yellow light. The police officer actually called me on the phone at the traffic stop to ask me questions. Who is this man? What's his social security number? Where does he live? Asking me all these questions on the phone. And he said he can't identify him and he was going to call immigration and immigration could identify him. I was like, you don't have to do that, sir. And he was like, yes, I do. And for some reason, at that very second, my phone just died. So I don't know if they thought I hung up and I had to walk to the police station with my 4-month-old child to try to figure out what was going on. And that was it.
What are your options at this point? And I'm assuming going to Mexico to join your husband might be one of them.
Well, I have been to Mexico a couple summers. I've gone, and it's not been easy there. We've had a really hard time financially. There's a whole lot of other issues, safety issues. Our options are very slim right now. I could either move to Mexico, but why should I have to be exiled from my country? I love my country. I spent 10 years for my country. Why should I have to leave to Mexico and take my U.S. citizen sons with me to go to Mexico? I'm not Mexican. I'm American. I want to be here in America. So we have that option where I can just be exiled. Or we have the option of we can try to find another country to move to. Or then there's the third option that a lot of people do. Unfortunately, they try to cross the border and come back, but I don't want my husband dead or thrown in prison. So those are our three options. And until I was in a very dark place after 2.5 years, we went through the visa interview. And when he was denied the visa interview until 2020 is when they said he can apply for a visa, 2020. I fell into like a deep state of depression and everything. And I'm taking care of our children by ourselves. And that's when I came into contact with the group OLA. And basically, I think of them as like footprints in the sand. They picked me up, carried to me where I am now. And I feel like fighting and going through the democratic process, we can change the law and then my husband can come back. So those are the four options. Change the law, exiled to Mexico, we move to another country, or he risks death or prison to come back here to be with his children.
Wow. I have to say, you know, you make your case, and somebody certainly got you motivated again. That depression is definitely in your rear view right now. What do your kids think is going on?
My kids think my husband is the telephone, and they think my husband is, we use Skype, so on their birthdays, I have to set up Skype and put the computer in front of the birthday cake so we can all be together. Every night I talk to my husband every day a couple times because I want him involved in everything, even if it's just by the phone. So at nighttime when my children say their prayers and I read them a story, he's right there with us on the phone. But it's kind of awkward. And we go to Mexico every summer and we spend the summer with him, but it's like ripping off a Band-Aid because when we come back, they're very attached to him. They love him. It's their father. They're very attached to him. And it's very difficult for me to watch them when we come back here. And, you know, when I discipline them, they cry for him. When they fall down and get hurt, they don't say, mommy, mommy. They cry. They say, daddy. And that's really, it really hurts me inside as their mother to, you know that I'm trying so hard to get him to come back here, but there's not a lot of avenues unless the law changes and we see what's going on with that. There's nothing we can really do right now, or we have to, you know, like I said earlier, be exiled from our own country.
What's your message to Congress? What's your message to the president?
My message to Congress and my message to the president is wake up. Stop this nonsense. Stop bickering between each other. There's people's lives at stake here. Honest, good, dedicated, patriotic people. This isn't just an issue of immigrants, and it's spilling into American blended families, everything. Like, wake up. These are human beings, people, children without their father. I had to go on to government subsidies to help me live economically because my husband was deported, and he was the only one working because I just had a baby and I was pregnant again. So it's like there's so many other things people are going through with this, and it's just really sad that nobody can just wake up and just work together and let's fix this and help people.
Elizabeth Perez, 35-year-old former Marine, mother of two, husband was deported after a traffic violation in 2010. Elizabeth, thanks so much and good luck.
Thank you, John.
A moment ago, we heard the pleas of a mother, Elizabeth Perez, trying to hold her family together despite the chaotic policy of deportations under the Obama administration and the lack of a policy nationwide for immigration reform. For decades, Democratic Congressman from Illinois, Luis Gutierrez, has been trying to deliver immigration reform. He hears the pleas of moms like Elizabeth Perez every single day.
It seems to me that we're at a point of no return on the issue of deportations and our immigration policy. Come July of this year, one of two things is going to happen. Number one, the Republicans will finally come to their senses in the House of Representatives and sit down with Democrats and craft bipartisan immigration legislation. We'll pass it, and we'll send it to the president's desk for a signature. And if they don't do that, if they refuse to do that, then I think the president of the United States has only one alternative. He will become the sole voice for those of us who want to see this, the deportations end and the devastating effect on American families end, by signing one executive order after another. And let me just make clear to all of your radio listeners is that the president has the authority already.
Congressman Gutierrez, is the president a credible voice there with his executive orders? He led us to believe in 2012 that the policy of deportations had changed and that people would not be deported for traffic violations, only violent offenses. But the New York Times shows, and Elizabeth Perez's case is one of them, that in fact most of the people being deported are caught in these trivial offenses.
Now look, that happened. We have challenged him. I've been taken away twice in handcuffs from in front of the White House with others denouncing the deportations of families and the separation of families. So we've had this argument, but I just want to go back to one thing. And what I originally spoke to you about, John, is that, look, it's coming. The House Republicans will either give us a bill or the president will sign one executive order. Now, I met with them 3 weeks ago. Now, here's the difference. Every time in the past, we went and spoke to Barack Obama and we challenged his Homeland Security, they would tell us there's nothing we can do. We're only deporting criminals and there's nothing else we can do. Well, I met with him 3 weeks ago, and as you know, he didn't say there's nothing more we can do. He ordered a complete review of the deportation processes. I met with Secretary Johnson of Homeland Security 2 weeks ago. And tomorrow, the Hispanic Congressional Caucus, all of us, will meet with Secretary Johnson. We have a memorandum for him, a memorandum which was posted already in different news media, including the Washington Post. It's a 6-page detailed affirmative actions that the president can take to put families in a safe place.
I want to push you on this, though, Congressman Gutierrez. What would you describe this transfer of 2 million people through the deportations policy? Is it an administrative glitch? Is it a political stalemate? Is it a population transfer? Is it ethnic cleansing? How close does it come?
I can tell you what it has cost. I have traveled to dozens of cities, whether they're in fields or in meatpacking plants or in community churches across this country. There is a palpable fear. People move constantly. Every day it's 1,100 people. So, look, we knew this. It's had a devastating effect on our community. And you know what? The elected officials here, the members of Congress, many of whom didn't want to take the president on year in and year out, are now taking him on. Nancy Pelosi said it's un-American what's happening. It's time for a change. It's so redundant when it comes to Barack Obama. But really, I believe that he does not want to go down in history as deporter-in-chief. That's not where he wants to be. There are bad, mean, nasty people in the immigrant community that are foreigners that do damage to us. Let's prioritize them and put all of the resources of the immigration forces to get rid of them out of our country and make our community safe.
Well, Congressman Gutierrez, thanks so much for speaking with us.
It's been a pleasure.
Fourth District Democratic Congressman from the state of Illinois, Representative Luis Gutierrez.
At Radiolab, we love nothing more than nerding out about science, neuroscience, chemistry.
But we do also like to get into other kinds of stories. Stories about policing or
politics,
country music,
hockey,
sex. Of bugs.
Regardless of whether we're looking at science or not science, we bring a rigorous curiosity to get you the answers.
And hopefully make you see the world anew.
Radiolab, adventures on the edge of what we think we know.
Wherever you get your podcasts.